Good morning. The open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, August 2nd is in session. Welcome, everybody. The first matter on the agenda is correction and approval of the minutes. Madam Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. Excuse me. I move that we approve the minutes for the meeting of June 28th, 2018, as set forth in agenda document number 18-35A.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes unanimously. We have two advisory opinion requests today, and we're going to flip the order because on the draft advisory opinion from Congressman Issa, we're waiting for his attorney, Chuck Bell, to call in. So we'll start with the second item on the agenda, draft advisory opinion 2018-10, United Utah Party by David Bateman. And we have a presentation this morning by one of our summer interns, Mr. Jedediah Blake. Welcome, and thank you for presenting.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document 1837A is a draft response to an advisory opinion request submitted by the United Utah Party Candidate Committee. The requester asks whether it qualifies as a state party committee. The draft concludes that the organization meets the requirements for a state committee of a political party. First, the requester is a political party. Second, the requester has an official party structure. And third, the requester is responsible for the day-to-day operations of the United Utah Party on the state level pursuant to the Act and Commission regulations. We did not receive any comments on the request or on the draft. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Nice job.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments? Did you know political parties needed to come here to get approval to become parties?
I know that now.
Good job.
Very good job.
Yeah. Is there a motion?
Madam Vice Chair. After that brilliant presentation, I have no questions. I only want to move approval of the draft. So I do so. I move approval of the answer to the request of the United Utah Party Advisory Opinion Request 2018-10, as set forth in agenda document number 18-37A.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So the next and final item on our agenda today is the Advisory Opinion 2018-08. And we're going to take a brief recess to determine whether or not we're able to get Mr. Chuck Bell on the phone. So we'll do that and be back hopefully soon. Hello again. So we waited for a little while for Mr. Bell to give us a call, and we're told that he's traveling today, and it appears as if he's not able to call in, at least not right now. My understanding is that he didn't request that we hold it indefinitely until he was able to get on the phone, and so we're going to proceed with the next advisory opinion. I'd like to point out also that this is Nevin's first meeting, Mr. Nevin Stepanovic, who is our new acting associate general counsel. Did I say it right?
Yes. Yes, that's correct, and thank you very much.
Welcome. We're delighted to have you.
It's not his first meeting. It's his first meeting in his new capacity.
Yes, yes. Excellent. Well, welcome, and thank you for stepping up. We appreciate it. And we have a presentation this morning by Mr. Joseph Wenziger on draft advisory opinion 2018-08.
Thank you, Chair Hunter. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document 1836A is a draft response to an advisory opinion request submitted by Congressman Darrell Issa. The requester asks whether he may reactivate his previous administratively terminated Senate campaign committee and then transfer campaign funds and recount funds from his principal campaign committee to the reactivated committee to repay part of the loan from the candidate to that committee. The draft concludes that Congressman Issa's principal campaign committee may transfer campaign funds to the reactivated committee, subject to various reporting requirements, but that it may not transfer recount funds. The draft also concludes that the $250,000 post-election limit on the repayment of candidate loans established by the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act does not apply to the loan made by the candidate to a Senate committee. We received no comments on the request or on the draft, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've been thinking a lot about this opinion, and I appreciate counsel's work on this. The draft largely relies on mostly, I think the strongest precedent for this is a 1985 AO, the Schaffer AO. And when I first looked at this, I thought, well, if I were writing on a clean slate, I don't think I would agree with the analysis in the Schaffer AO. Of course, back in the 80s, they had much more abbreviated analyses. That's not the way I would have decided that. So then I had to ask myself whether I am, in some sense, obligated to say the same thing in 2018 that the commission said in 1985, just because the commission said that in 1985. I don't think I am. I don't think I am required to reaffirm legal principles that that I don't agree with and that I don't think set good policy. What we have here is a situation that's pretty somewhat unusual. The requester ran unsuccessfully for the Senate in 1998, I believe. So 20 years ago, he incurred, he loaned his campaign a lot of money to unsuccessfully run for the Senate. And that committee was ultimately terminated. He went on to run successfully for the House and then recently decided not to run for re-election and found himself with a substantial amount of money still sitting in his campaign account, close to, I think, $750,000. And the question is, can he reactivate a campaign for the Senate, his campaign committee for the Senate, which I think has been terminated for 14 years, in order to transfer the funds that are remaining in his current campaign account back to that account to pay himself back for a 20-year-old debt. My strong suspicion is that most, if not all, of the people who contributed the $750,000 that are currently sitting in his account may or may not have known that he even ran for the Senate 20 years ago, probably were unaware that he still, that he had loaned himself a lot of money and that it was even possible for him to use his current campaign holdings to pay himself back, something that, at least in those amounts, Congress has long moved away from and decided is a bad policy. So I think under all of these circumstances, the need to reactivate a very old account to pay back an even older debt to himself that basically allows him to take what is left in his campaign account and put it in his own pocket when he leaves Congress, that strikes me as bad policy, not required by the law, and I don't think that because the commission made a decision in 1985, I'm bound to just, without thinking, do exactly what the commission did. And it's not quite exactly. I could distinguish it on the facts. It's a small, much smaller loan. It was $10,000. It was a much smaller period of time lag. But in any event, I don't think that I am required to repeat a mistake that the commission made in 1985, so I can't support the draft. I do support the part that says that under any circumstances he can't use recount funds for that purpose.
Are there any other questions or comments? So I have Commissioner Walther.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with a lot of what Commissioner Weintraub said. However, I think when BCRA was announced, adopted, why it then became clear that you could not repay yourself more than $250,000. I think that's a policy that the government established at that time as one that would be acceptable. And before that, I assume the law was changed because they thought that anything more than that would not be. And this is the most that would be allowed to be repaid. And I think the elapse of time, I realize that, you know, in one case it's been 11 years, but here, when you get back into 20 years and $700,000 and nothing gets done, and you transfer from one entity to another for a different race entirely, I think we're pushing the envelope on whether or not that can be justified. So I'm not going to support it, but I would agree to support a repayment up to $250,000, since I think that's a policy that the government's established now and would be one that I would find reasonable under the circumstances.
Any other comments or questions? Commissioner Peterson?
My phone doesn't seem to want to turn on. Let's see if this one's working.
Here, you can use mine.
That side of the table has
a problem. Yeah, I guess. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll just borrow your microphone for a moment. I'll just speak briefly. I agree with the draft. I think that I think it's a straightforward application of the statute, the applicable regulations, and our precedents in the advisory opinion context. It's obviously a bit of an unusual request. You know, when I first saw the question raised, the answer did not immediately come to mind. As I see, the analysis is set forth in this draft. I agree with it. And so at the appropriate time, I'll be happy to make a motion in order to support its passage.
Thank you. I have a question for my colleague, Madam Vice Chair. So am I correct let me just ask the question. Would you be okay with the transfer? Is the part that you're not okay with that it's a transfer for a purpose of repaying a loan to himself? What if it was just a transfer for paying other debts? I'm trying to figure out, because, you know, obviously the statute and the regs permit unlimited transfers between a candidate's previous federal campaign committee, as it says right in here, as long as the candidate is not a candidate for more than one federal office at the time and provided that the funds transfer do not include contributions that would be in violation of the act. So making sure that they're all hard money and that the previous campaign is the other committee to which it's being transferred is a previous federal campaign committee. And it seems like all of that checks out here. So I just would like to know, are you concerned about the part that he's paying himself back or the transfer itself? As you know, people are transferring all the time, and I wouldn't want to cloud that area of the law.
In these circumstances, there would be no purpose to reactivating the committee and transferring the funds other than to pay himself back.
Right, right.
Because there are no other debtors. I mean, and that actually was something that factored into my thinking also, that no other debtor would be in a position to ask, oh, can you, you know, pay me back for a 20-year-old debt, because the statute of limitations is long run on any debts. The only reason that this one is at issue is because the debtor and the creditor are basically the same person. But no, I'm not trying to cloud the issue of transfers in general, but we're being asked about a specific set of facts.
Okay, so thank you. If there were other debtors, there were 50 other debtors, and the requester doesn't specifically say, I'm doing this just to pay myself back, you would be okay with that, right? Because it's a previous federal campaign committee and it's hard dollars.
As I said, no other debtor would be able to assert a claim because the statute of limitations would have long run on those debts.
Well, they could assert a claim. That doesn't mean that it would be successful.
You know, I mean, and we have actually fairly recently, I won't go into the details because I'm not sure if it's public, but we have fairly recently allowed committees to terminate despite debts because we said, well, you know, those debts, the statute of limitations is run, so, you know, those people are basically out of luck.
So you don't have, just talking about the transfers part itself, you don't have any problem with just transferring from one committee to another as per the regulation allows.
As I said, I'm not trying to cast a cloud on transfers in general, but we're being asked a specific question, as is always true in the advisory opinion context. We're being asked a specific question about a specific set of facts.
Okay. So the transfer part itself isn't the problem for you. The issue is that the congressman would like to pay himself back.
Well, it's the whole constellation of facts that the only reason for reactivating the old committee, which is, you know, something we don't have to say yes to, is in order to facilitate a transfer. The only purpose of the transfer is to pay the congressman back.
Well, it's, I'm not sure what support in the law there is for that proposition. As I said, the law specifically allows this type of transfer. And I understand that you find it unsavory that the congressman wants to pay himself back, but it seems like it's protected under the law to me.
I don't think that the law requires us to allow committees to be reactivated 20 years later.
Just a case-by-case basis.
I don't think there are any other circumstances in which people seek to reactivate committees years after the fact. And in fact, it hasn't happened very often. Like I said, we had to go back to 1985 to find a precedent on this.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Is there a motion? Commissioner Peterson?
May have to make the motion on your mic.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Come on over.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With respect to the request and advisory opinion 2018-08, ISA, I move approval of draft A, which is set forth in agenda document number 18-36-A.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Peterson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, sorry.
Just for the record, I did want to clarify the fact that I would approve that advisory opinion were the amount to be $250,000.
Okay.
So without a separate motion, I will, not support the motion.
Okay. Thank you. I mean, obviously, even if Commissioner Walther joined us, that would only be 3 votes. So that's not going to get anyone very far. We'll do that vote one more time. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Excuse me, opposed.
Okay, we'll do one more time.
Okay.
All those in favor? Aye. Opposed?
No. Nay.
The motion fails by a vote of 2-2. Commissioner Peterson and I voting in favor, and Commissioner Walther and the Vice Chair voting against. Madam Vice Chair.
I don't know whether there's any interest in a motion to direct counsel to draft a response that would say the commission agrees that you can't use recount funds for this purpose and could not agree by the required 4 votes for anything else.
No, I don't think that would be useful because he's not going to be able to use the money anyway. That makes sense. All righty. Any other questions or comments? And the Office of General Counsel will send the appropriate letters.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to the end of the agenda for today. Mr. Palmer, are there any management or administrative matters that we need to discuss?
Madam Chair, there are no such matters.
Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.